That's 50 days after Passover, and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the young and new church. And we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, and that's the title of this message, is simply the Holy Spirit. Before I do that, a couple of things. I want to, just a couple of little announcements here. And that is, this sheet, I think it's still back there. We passed it out. Breakthrough Intercessory Prayer Worksheet back there. And at the bottom of it, there was the four segments of intercessory prayer. And I won't read them, but I'd like for us as a church to continue together. We're not having intercessory prayer tonight, but we will be having times of intercessory prayer. This is what we need to do right now in binding together in one heart, in one mind, and that we pray. And in your regular prayer time, you know, I pray, and I've got a lot more to say about intercessory prayer and warfare, and I may go back to that in a couple of Sundays. But I want you to continue intercessory prayer, if you would, in these areas that are listed. It's on that sheet. May we do that together in the Lord. Amen. So praise the name of the Lord. And then next Sunday, I've got a special message for us and an announcement of a project that we're going to undertake as a church. And call everybody you know that part of our church and say, hey, it's important to be here this Sunday. You know, you be sure that you come, all right? And so I want to lift that up. That's going to be next Sunday. I'm looking forward to that and as well. And then also, did you know next Sunday's Father's Day, right? You know, just in case somebody's forgetting out there, we just want to help you. We want to help you out there just a little bit. And so anyway, that you might know that. So that's amazing. That's almost kind of snuck up on me. So praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. And I'm going to look at some very obvious things and I'll kind of get them aside about the Holy Spirit. You know, it's so much that we need to have a freshness of God. I may be praying that in just a little bit. It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, how we need the working and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I begin to just, you know, say to the Lord, I said, Lord, well, just exactly, you know, what do you want me to say? The subject is so vast and so great, you know, that I could go on and look at it very, several aspects of the Holy Spirit. And I felt so much in my heart was that my people experience the Holy Spirit, you know, and that's what I felt like. And that's what I'm going to pray here at the end, you know, that we would experience the Holy Spirit and that we would experience the Holy Spirit more. I want you to know that no matter where you are in walking with the Lord and what experiences that you've had in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit wants to bring increase in you and in me. He's got a lot more that he wants to pour out upon you, and he's got more that he wants to pour through you. And we need to become vessels of the Holy Spirit and let him have his way among us, individually and corporately. When I say talk about experiencing the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm talking about the manifestation of the reality of what Jesus has done for us. That's when I talk about experiencing. I'm not talking about an emotionalism, but I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a faith that you don't experience. Right? And the misunderstanding and the wrong representation that to experience is simply emotionalism. You know, these are a lot of times perpetuated by groups and churches and denominations that know nothing about the Holy Spirit other than the fact that he's a doctrine in the Word of God. You know, and we need a lot more than a doctrine in the Word of God. I don't know of probably any church group that doesn't have a doctrine about the Holy Spirit. You can't really hardly get away from it, can you? But there's a difference between experiencing the Holy Spirit, you know, and having that reality being manifested in your life than just simply having a doctrine that is about him. We need more. And then we're going to look at that. I want to just look at a few things here. And here's this, so we can get this foundation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and what we are celebrating here today and what we seek for, what we're asking for from Almighty God, from the Holy Spirit. Look at this, if we would, in selected verses in Acts chapter 1. I'm just going to look here, at, for example, in verse 4. It says, "And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me." You know, so Jesus had been telling them as that which was to come, which was the Holy Spirit of God. And the reason is because they now had been put into the place through the covenant as being made sons of God. And that was the point to the Holy Spirit, that it's not just receive a title, but that you shall be sons of God. You know, and that was where the promise, it had been made through all through the ages. That's for another message to look at that, but just simply that you know that, you know, so that you and I could really truly become sons of God. That's your position now. No matter what you feel, no matter what you think, and no matter what your experience, if you're in Jesus this morning, that is your place, that is your position that you have before God the Father. And not only before God the Father, but in the earth. In the earth. We're the representatives of the Lord. We are to allow the Spirit of Jesus to flow through us, that the works of Jesus may continue. And this is what the Lord seeks to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all through the Holy Spirit. Success comes through the Holy Spirit. Victory comes through the Holy Spirit. The real empowerment of the church to really truly be an influencer in the earth is in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why there's been such a work against the Holy Spirit in the earth. The evil one has attacked the doctrine. I'd say that for just simply for lack of better words right now. And that is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, to move him out of tasting and experiencing the reality of the Holy Spirit into simply being a doctrine that we say that we adhere to and believe in which there's no reality to it. You know, that's been the work of the evil one, you know, so that we not have the power that has been promised us in Christ. Well, they were to wait, it says right here, for that promise. And we come on down here, and the next verse, he says, "For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." You know, so he didn't really fully tell them. God wants us to live and walk by faith. Even the workings of the Holy Spirit, they start with the work of faith. It starts with a hunger. It starts with a fire. You know, if you have no hunger, you have no fire for more. It's going to be hard to experience more in the Holy Spirit. You know, he moves upon hungry hearts. He moves upon hearts that have that fire that begins to cry out to God and it begins to move toward the Lord. And in that is willing to believe God. Well, even stepping out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, you can have a witness of gifts in you, of the Holy Spirit upon you, and they're moving in you, and they're moving upon you. But when you begin to experience them, it's when you're willing by faith to step out in them. A lot of times, you know, like for example, in the gift of prophecy, you know, the way the prophecy will work is that, you know, it's according to the measure of your faith. Isn't that what it says in Romans? According to the, isn't that interesting? According, you know, to he who prophesies, according to the measure of his faith. For you to operate in that gift, it starts with the foundation of faith. You open your mouth, you say a few words, and then bang, here comes the rest of it, right? You don't know where this thing is going. You may even have the gist of it or whatever it would be, but it's not like you got it all. And, you know, you, by faith, open your mouth and you speak. You got to be willing. You got to be willing. And if you're willing and by faith you begin to move out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then here they come. They begin to be manifested. And you learn by the Holy Spirit, you're trained by the Holy Spirit to walk in those gifts of the Spirit. You know, it's kind of like riding a bicycle, you know. I mean, I started out, had training wheels, you know, on my bicycle. Had my brother's old hand-me-down bicycle. It was a little bit too big for me in the first place, you know. And then my dad put training wheels on that thing, and I rode that thing around. Then one day, Dad said, "We're taking the training wheels off today." Man, I got that clear in my mind right now. I can look and vision that perfectly, right? You know, they took off the training wheels, grabbed hold of me, grabbed hold of that seat, and he ran with me a little bit and went woof like that, you know. Man, I wobbled around, but doggone it, I stayed up, right? You know, I mean, you know that, and that is a way, you might say, of the Holy Spirit. You know, he starts by the work of faith. It's the work of faith. You know, well, you know, whatever God wants to do to me, he can do it. He's not going to do nothing with you. Nothing. Because you're not operating in the way of the Spirit. You know, it takes a heart for first. It takes a heart for, you know, and for us as a body. My goodness, do we not want to see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit? You know, we need the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, and I'm just going to lift this up real quick in the middle of this message, if you don't mind. And, you know, speaking of gifts of the Holy Spirit, I pray that in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you shall manifest among us gifts of healing in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the effecting of miracles among us in the Holy Spirit. I pray that the gift of faith be released upon us in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask that you bring upon us the distinguishing of spirits among us in the name of Jesus. The word of wisdom go forth. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge be released now upon the beloved of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. May the prophetic word have its place among us in the name of Jesus. May the gift of prophecy go forth in Jesus' name. May the interpretation of tongues and the blessing of tongues go forth in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, bring forth these gifts upon your beloved in Jesus' name. Now, what the Lord is going to do is going to talk to you about some of these things, and he's going to begin to urge you to step out in some of these things, and he's going to make you a little bit uncomfortable within yourself so that you can walk out in him and find that this anointing of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing in your way in a fresh new way. You know, and you begin to walk in them, and then as they come, they increase, okay? They increase in their power. I want you to see this before I read on. Come over here just to turn the page, I think, and this is in John in chapter 20. I'm sure that you've seen this, but it's important for us to point out right here for just a moment. And it says right here, let's see, I'm going to begin in verse 19, when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors had been shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Now, here's verse 21, and Jesus therefore said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father," now look here, "as the Father has sent me, I also send you." Okay? So you and I fall into that category as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have a mission to fulfill. We have a ministry to fulfill. We right here at Relevant Faith, we have a work and a mission and a ministry of the Lord that is designed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I want to be really, really honest with you. You know, the Holy Spirit will let a lot of failures come into your life to bring you into increased desperation so that you will fall upon your face and seek Him in a greater and a more fuller way, because He's wanting to bring a breakthrough that comes with the power of Almighty God. He does that with the church. He does that with people, individuals. So that desperation is so formulated within you that I can't go on anymore, Lord God. I can't go on anymore. You know, we need your hand. We need your presence. We need your spirit. We need the power of God. I believe that the Holy Spirit's seeking to bring us into that. I really do, with all my heart. And the power of the Holy Spirit. More and more. Go on, if you would. And then this is what happened in verse 22. And when he had said this, look here. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That's John 20. All right, let's go back to Acts chapter 1. So, you know, the disciples already had the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They already had the Holy Spirit. You know, so you can imagine what was up on them, right? You can imagine what was up on them. You know, they had that fire. They had that spirit of desperation. They had that spirit of prayer, you might say, of looking and calling upon the Lord. And that's what anointed them in power to be able to do what they did for 50 days, right, in the upper room before the day of Pentecost came. Now, so we get a taste of understanding right here in the word of the Lord. And so we know that he breathed upon them and that they had the Holy Spirit. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, look on back in Acts chapter 1 again. And then notice this as we come on down here. It says in verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has, now look at this, has come upon you. He already said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Are you getting it? Right? The Holy Spirit coming upon them. Because what this is about and what the day of Pentecost is about is the endowment of power. The endowment of power so that they may be able to fulfill the mission that is before them. Isn't it absolutely amazing that it's very clearly implied to us that he told them, you know, to wait until the promise of the Father came about. And the reason because of that was that they had no ability to succeed in what God wanted to accomplish through them without the power of the Holy Spirit. You will not live a successful Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. You will be plagued with defeat. You will be plagued with failures. I'm not saying that you will live perfectly, but you will be moving forward, upward, and onward in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have more holiness that will come into your heart and in your life. You'll have the affecting of the Spirit of God upon your mind and upon your body, upon your will, and upon all of your desires. And then in the midst of that, he will commission for you the service that he has prepared for you in the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit. It will be in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for a few. It's not just for some. It's for all that are in Christ to have the Holy Spirit and to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know this verse. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this will be the outcome. This will be the outcome. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria. Now look here, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. I mean, you know, this is the mission of the church. You know, that we see the salvation of the Lord, that we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we have the power of that validity of the Lord, that we are vessels of Almighty God. And we see the healing hand of the Lord. You know, one of those things that we just prayed a minute ago was gifts of healing. Not the gift of healing, but gifts of healing. This is the way that the Spirit works. You find yourself laying. Now, if you don't start laying hands on people, how will you ever know if you don't step forward in these things, you know, and start praying for people? I'll be honest with you. I try to lay hands on as many people as I possibly can. I'll be talking to someone. I'm not talking about from this pulpit here. I'm talking about out there in that world. And that's where God wants to use you. Is this where your Christianity is here? Right here? Do people out there in the world know who you are? Do they know that you're a Christian? I didn't ask you, do they know where you go to church? I said, do they know who you are? Do they know that you're a believer? Right? Do they know that you love the Lord with all of your heart? You know, and in the midst of that, that you are looking to minister to every single person that you come in contact with. There may be times that you will be able to do it. There may be other times you won't be able to do it. But you have something about you, and that is this mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, I'm on every little single open door, I'm going to step in it, right? I'm going to step in it. You know, and what I do, somebody be telling me their problem and everything else, somebody start talking to me, you know, and I said, well, okay, here. Let me pray for you. Man, I got my hand on them, boy. I'm going to tell you right now. I got my hand on them, you know, and I'm going to pray for them. You know, I'll interrupt them right there in the spot because I'm going to get my hand on them and I'm going to pray over them and the releasing of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What God does, what He's able to do, what He's able to accomplish, that's all going to be between them and God. Let me be His vessel. Do you have that spirit? Do you have that heart? Do you have that sense of mission about you? Or does somehow your Christianity during the week, Monday through Friday, kind of disappears on you when it gets around the boys, you know, and everything? You know what grieves me? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. When you get a bunch of Christians together, they're outside sitting on the pews, and nobody wants to talk about Jesus because they got nothing to talk about. Now, that's an indictment right there. That is an indictment right there of no reality of Jesus in your heart or in your life. What is Jesus doing in you? If you can't name it, what's the problem? Or is it just church? I'm a churchman. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to lift their eyes up in hell and going to be in desperation and say, what am I doing here? What's happened? What's happened? There's going to be a lot of pastors out of pulpits that are going to be doing just that as well. Because they were great religious people. Religiosity is wickedness before Almighty God. And it's all part of the system of the harlot. Okay? There's not one group in it, right? Okay? It's a whole system of doctrines that allows you to live in the world and live in the flesh and at the same time proclaim Jesus. And it's a harlot before Almighty God. And the Spirit of God won't dwell in it. The Spirit of God won't dwell in it. You know, those things are always after us. We live in probably one of the most dangerous places in the world to live. Did you know that? It's called the Bible Belt. Yeah. Everybody and their brother and their dog knows Jesus, right? Hey, it's hard to talk to anybody there. Oh, yeah, you know. You know how many times I've seen, you know how many times in the workplace that I have seen, you know, deacons of the church and the song leader of the church and all that be, you know, and then they're the first one that wants to tell a dirty joke on Monday morning? Maybe it's you that tells the dirty jokes. Something's wrong. Desperately wrong. We're a people marked for the kingdom of God. And we find the power to be what we need to be, what we ought to be, you know, in the hands of the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll give you that boldness where you don't care what people think, right? You know, I've mentioned this before. I'll have people and I know what they're doing. See, I'm always aware. I'm aware of my surroundings. I always have an awareness of what's going on around me. in a spiritual way, in a spiritual nature. You know, that's what happens when you walk in the Spirit, all right? You walk in the Spirit. There's a discernment that goes on in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, and everything looks real innocent and all of that. And then the next thing you know, there'll be somebody trying to say, usually in a group, you know, not just with, you know, me individually, and you want to start saying some off-colored thing. That's the evil one. That's the evil one. And it's also, they're testing your Christianity. Oh, I don't want to be ostracized, so I'm going to be sure I laugh at it. I'm not going to break a smile. And I don't care if they like me or they don't. Do you want the approval of men or the approval of God? You better make up your mind, because you can't have both. You can't have both. Well, where the power comes in these things, and they can be difficult things. Nobody likes rejection, right? Nobody likes ridicule. You know, nobody likes to be persecuted. Nobody delights in those things in any form or fashion. You know, but you have a boldness that comes upon you in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you power. That word power right there is the word dunamis. It's the word dunamis. You know that. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And this is its definition. It is, first of all, the miraculous. So the hand of the miraculous comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is miraculous in character, in nature. He wants you and I to live in the realm of the miraculous. We have to create an avenue for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to come in. Does that make sense? You know, if we don't create an avenue for the Holy Spirit, that's personally, individually, but also corporately as a body, that we make room for the Holy Spirit's ministry. We make room for the Holy Spirit to be manifested in the way that He wants to be manifested. We have a sensitivity. We have an expectation, right? You know, and you walk in it personally and individually. You know, so for example, laying hands on people and such. When you're laying hands on people and you're doing that, you know, it's all in the hands of the Lord. God may appear to them that night. It may be 6 months down the road, but I guarantee you the ministry of the Holy Spirit has just come upon them. It has come upon them. So this is our mission that we walk in, and it's a miraculous. It means power. It means might. Now this might is the might that comes by the Spirit. This is not willpower. This is not willpower. All right. This is not self-discipline. It's might. Might that comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's also, the definition is strength. Strength that comes. It's not by the heart and the mind and the will of an individual. It's strength that comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. It makes you bold. It makes you courageous in Him. It makes you have clarity within your heart. That, you know, when you live your life, you know, I work in the workplace, right? But I'm on a sense of mission constantly. Constantly on a sense of mission. Because what I do for a living's got nothing to do with my mission in Christ. Right? You know, I live for Jesus, and I live in the kingdom of God. And my mission is to glorify Him and to be His vessel as He would will and as He would desire. Right? You know, and so you'll find yourself in all types of places where, you know, you might be able to say a word here or a word there. Just being what God wants you to be is the most important thing, and that you're willing. All right? And also it means ability. So ability in God that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on down through here and let's look and see what happened right here for just a moment. Like, for example, let me read this. So they were up in that upper room, and this is chapter 1 again, but in verse 14, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with her, with his brothers. So you know what they were doing there, right? So the Holy Spirit had come on them. They'd received the Holy Spirit. They were commanded to stay there and to wait. They didn't know all fully what they were completely waiting for. They didn't fully know what to expect that would be taking place in any form or any fashion. And so, you know, this was an act of faith and obedience to God, a waiting on the Lord, of faith and obedience to God. And as they did that, they stayed in that upper room. You know, and you've heard me say before that, you know, they weren't eating cheese crackers and drinking Coca-Colas. Right? That's not what they were doing. How was your day, John? Oh, it was pretty good, you know, this and that. They were seeking God. God is looking for a people who will seek him, that say, we got to have this experience among us. We got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. I got to have, personally, the power of the Holy Spirit. I got to have this gifts, you know, as the Spirit would will. You know, and it's for everyone. It's for everyone. You know, one will be a hand, you know, right in the body, right? And one will be a feet and eyes and ears. We're making up the body of Christ. We don't all do the same things. We don't all have the same anointing. This is the wonderfulness of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But make no mistake about it, and even if in service, okay, it was said, well, it's to serve. It talks about that. An anointing? What are you kidding? Anointing to serve? Yeah. Yeah. Because you do it with a cheerful heart and not a begrudging heart. Right? You do it with a cheerful heart. You know, those that serve in our church right here, you're going to tell me that, you know, that's a really wonderful gift to have, right? You know, for the Holy Spirit that gives you the cheerfulness to be able to put others before yourself and to serve, sometimes in a thankless way, right? Of course, we're not looking for the praise of people. We do it. Do you do what you do as unto the Lord, or do you do it for the praises of men? Which is it? You're going to get sorely disappointed. You're going to become bitter. You're going to become resentful and the like. You know, this is what the Spirit does. And then we're doing what we do. Why do we do it? As unto the Lord. Right? When you get that one straightened out, then you will find joy in your heart, and you'll have an eagerness, and you'll have an empowerment to be a servant of God, because you're not doing any of it for men. And I think that's so important to understand also, so that we can receive the fullness of his blessings, right? You know, because I'm going to tell you, you know, have you ever read the little book by Brother Lawrence, right? It's a famous little book, Brother Lawrence. You know, he was a monk. You know what he did in a monastery? Wash dishes. You know, it's an incredible little book, right? You know, and that's all that he did. Are you hearing me here? You know, but oh my goodness, did he have experiences in the Lord, in the power of God, and in the Holy Spirit. You know, all he did in that monastery, what his main mission was to wash dishes. That's what he did, was that he washed dishes. But he wrote some incredible things that were just part of his writings, you know, and his documenting his experiences, because the Spirit of God was revealing so many mighty things to him. That's what we need and what we want. Okay, let's come on down here in verse 1 of chapter 2 about the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. You know what? I want you to see that nobody was left out here. As I give that example of Brother Lawrence, you know, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, in the gift of tongues, and being filled with the Holy Spirit is for everyone. It's for every believer to receive. It doesn't matter where your place is in the body. This is for everyone to receive. He wants you to receive the fullness of His power and the fullness of His glory and the fullness of His Spirit. And also in with that, the gift of tongues. And I'm going to preach a message someday here on tongues, you know, and focus on that. But that's not my point right now. Although I would simply say, you know, we understand that it's for everyone. If you haven't spoken, I'm going to pray for you here at the end. I'm going to pray for you that that be loosed in you, because it's of such a vital part of our overcoming in the Holy Spirit. It's such a vital part. And the reason that it's a vital part is because it has so much to do with prayer. All right? Prayer, and worship. You know, you may never have tongues and interpretation of tongues in church, right? You may never do that, you know, but that's not what it's all about. And tongues is not simply about, okay, speaking a foreign language in church. You know, and there's a lot more to be said about that. Did you know this? Just listen. 1 Corinthians 12:10 says various kinds of tongues. How about that? Huh? You know, we don't ever talk about that, do we? Various kinds of tongues. So it's not simply, you know, well, you know, if you're going to speak in tongues in church, then it needs to be a foreign language, you know, or something, and somebody's got to interpret. I'm not going to get into all of that at this moment. It also says don't forbid speaking in tongues. All right? You know, so tongues has a place here in our church. It can be a part of worship. Paul said that I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing with my mind. Okay, that's very clearly tongues, because he makes a distinction there. You know, I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray with my mind also. There again is that distinction that is right there. You know, those are various kinds of tongues right there, and more. I think there's specialized ministries of tongues that come upon the believers as well. All right, but apart from that, you know, then also the Apostle Paul said, I thank God. Boy, this was a bold statement, wasn't it? I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Well, I mean, man, you what? I tell you what, he had a lot of confidence. He must have done a lot of speaking in tongues, didn't he? Right? You know? So, you know, I believe the evil one has attacked tongues in a mighty way, so that the church would run away from it as much as they possibly would. And because there's so much personal power that is involved, because there's a loosening of your spirit man to be able to come in and begin to receive and also to open and give to the Lord in ways that your mind will filter and quench and shut down. But you bypass that. You bypass that, and you operate from the heart and not simply from the intellect or from the mind. God wants you to have it. God wants you to have it. You know, and I want to encourage those that, whatever reason that you might not have it at this point, I want to encourage you that the Spirit of God will bring it. He will bring it. Don't get frustrated and quit. Now, verse 3 again, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves. Notice that, fire, distributing. That's the fire of Almighty God. You know, God was setting their lives, setting their hearts on fire, and they rested on each one of them. And here's the verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. They did the speaking, the Spirit gave the utterance, okay? You know, that's important for you to receive that. You know, they did the speaking. Okay, the Spirit gave the utterance. You know, so there's a distinction. You got to open your mouth, and by faith that you believe and receive by faith the baptism in the Holy Spirit. By faith also you believe, you know, that I also have the gift of tongues, because it comes with it, and I'm the one that opens my mouth. The Spirit gives you the utterance. Right? You won't open your mouth. The utterance is not going to come out. Right? So this is important for you to understand. We can talk about that more and need to talk about it. Look at this. I want you to come on down here and also what was being said and about that day of Pentecost and what was happening. Here's verse 17. And it is speaking of this. This is what it says. I'm going to hear on 16. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. Verse 17, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And look at this, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, look here, both men and women, I will in those days, and we're living in those days right now. Okay, in those days, we'll look here, pour forth my spirit, and they will prophesy. You know, and the point there is prophecy, may I say this, is not just simply prophecy in church and that, and being a prophet or any other thing, but he's allowing you to see the movement of God, allowing you to understand what the Spirit has to say. You know, allowing you to understand. Remember we're talking about, you know, that groaning's too deep for words, right? In Romans chapter 8, groanings that are too deep for words, right? And then we talk about the impartation of the mind of the Spirit. Man, that's something, isn't it? You know, that you can receive the mind of the Spirit. You know, that so that attack plan of Almighty God comes forth upon you. And you know, and it doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but it's in the realm of the Spirit. And then in the realm of the Spirit, then breakthrough power begins to flow. Breakthrough power begins to flow in your life and in the church and in the church's mission. And then hearts and lives are touched by the power of Almighty God in ways that you and I in the flesh cannot touch them. We cannot touch them. You know, we can go right down there, you know, on the corner of 3rd and Allen and stand right there and preach the gospel. And if you feel led to do that, then do it, right? But we need more than just doing that. We need power. We need power. We need power. Because without the power, it just becomes a type of works that we do. We may have a good heart about it, but we need more than a good heart. We need the power of God. This is what happened to them. And then look at this. So this is the Holy Spirit will take you into His presence and show you things of God. He'll show you things of God. He will show you things that to pray about. He'll show you places of faith to stand upon. He will begin to give victory in the Spirit before the victory is made manifested in the natural. This is the way of the Holy Spirit. See, He brings about the assurance of victory. The victory is won in the realm of the Spirit. That's where the victory is won. And then after it's won in the realm of the Spirit, we begin to just stand in that victory and rejoice over that victory, right? We begin to give thanksgivings to God. You know, the Word talks about, you know, prayers and petitions, right? And supplications and thanksgivings. Huh? And thanksgivings? You know, almost like it don't fit, right? Okay, I understand supplication. Oh, I got that. I understand petitions, right? All right, you know, that. And then all of a sudden it throws in there and thanksgivings, you know, because that's a people that are giving thanks because they've been shown something. They've been shown something. They have been given something in the realm of the Spirit, and they're offering thanksgivings over it, right? This all comes through the operation of the Holy Spirit. You know, and so, you know, we're able to stand. We enter into that faith of Abraham. You know, the farther that Abraham, you know, this is, we find this in the fourth chapter of Romans, you know, that the farther that Abraham got away from the promise, the more assured that he became. That's wild, right? Right? The longer it took, the more assurance he got. Well, it's usually in the nature of the flesh. It works the opposite way, doesn't it? Right? Okay. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, so, you know, we win victories in the realm. This is why intercession is so important for us as a church. Right? This is why we must be a praying people. What would have happened to them on the day of Pentecost if they had not been praying? You know, so victories come in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're won in the realm of the Spirit in your life personally, and then also corporately as a church. And then we begin to let them be unfolded, and we follow the command of the Holy Spirit, do this, do that, whatever it would be. But the victory's not won in the doing. The victory's not won in the doing. The victory is won in the realm of the Spirit. That's where the victory is won. You know, and when we walk and be a people of the Spirit, if we're going to win victories in the Spirit, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You know, we got to be a people of the Spirit, right? If we're going to win victories in the Spirit. This is why the evil one has sought to shut down the operations of the Holy Spirit, even in so-called Spirit-filled, Spirit-believing churches, right? To shut it down, because without the operation of the Holy Spirit, we cannot obtain those victories in the realm of the Spirit. God begins to move. He wants this world won. He wants this world won. He does not want any to go to hell. He wants His people that have given their hearts to Him to live victorious lives. Many people don't know the way to victory. Many people are taught in church through false doctrines that they don't have to have victory, or they can't ever obtain victory. And those that claim to be victorious in Jesus are just arrogant people, or whatever it would be. These things are not true. They're not true. What is your need here this morning? Kathy, would you all come on, if you would? What is your need here in the Lord? Do you know that the Holy Spirit will supply it? Did you know the Holy Spirit will supply it? He will supply it.